Association Band and Orchestra Festival and our Center for the Arts at Castro Valley High School. Next group to perform is Hopkins Junior High School and from Fremont, California. They'll be performing Overture on a minstrel tune by Pierre Ballad for Peace by Frank Erickson and Lion of Lucerne by James Kerber. Please help me welcome Hopkins Junior High School.
Good morning, Hopkins Junior High School Symphonic Band and Mr. Conway and Mr. Flaherty. My name is Troy Davis. I'm Director of Bands and Jazz at Aragon High School in San Mateo and the Music Director of the Oakland Municipal Band. I will be making some comments during your performance today that I hope you find helpful and that you can use for your continued growth. Those first opening measures, I think I mentioned this earlier. Clarinets, first of all, think about using your right hand on the throat tones. So this is like your first note in the second clarinets is an A, and then a G is your second note. Those tones, G, G sharp, A, B flat, where you're playing just your first finger and your thumb, often need to have your right hand down on the F key, E key, and D key. Or if you say the low notes, the low B flat, A, and G key, so that you can stabilize the pitch and have a little bit more focused tone quality. I'm also looking, I'm on the side of the clarinet section in the audience here, and I'm looking, there's a lot of varying embouchures from some of you. Flat chin, firm corners, no puffy cheeks, more mouthpiece in your mouth, barrel pushed down towards your body. All of those things are some things that are going to help with your tone production and control your air. There's a lot of discrepancy going on. I can pick a little bit on the clarinets again because you're right in front of me, so I'm seeing it most obviously. But I don't want to single only the clarinets out. That's a general thing. That everybody should think about is placement of your instrument and what you're doing with your embouchure, your complete setup. And you want to be unified, because the more unified you are, the more unified your sound will be. So in general, this is a big group, so it's going to be more difficult for you all to hear each other while you're playing, especially if everybody's playing at the same time. The larger your group, just, you know, adding numbers, there's strength, but it also is challenging in certain ways because it's hard to hear. So with this size of a group, number one, everything you're playing individually does not need to be as loud as printed on the page. If it says a forte and there's, I don't know, 14 flutes, then each flute player has to play mezzo piano or piano, and that's a flute forte. If it says mezzo forte and you've got 15 clarinets, then you all can play a comfortable mezzo piano and you don't have to work as hard to have a full section sound. You are listening to each other well and you're working hard to blend your sounds together, which is fantastic. I would really like for you all to be able to hear every single other player in the band while you're playing. That's a tall order for any size group. But it's a good concept to think about, because if you're able to hear every single person while you're playing, that's going to drastically change what you do when you're playing. In general, the overall sound when you're playing forte tends to be just a little on the verge of being uncontrolled. Too much. Some people are overplaying. I don't think with this size of band you need to play as loud individually to achieve the effect of a full forte. So think about how you can adjust some of those dynamics a little bit. the flip side is you're playing with great energy and great conviction, and that's exactly what you should be doing. No matter the size of your group, no matter the dynamic that you're playing in, no matter what type of music it is, you want to play with energy, focus, and conviction. So that's a great thing that I'm seeing. So many of you seem to be passionate about music making, and you play with confidence. Keep that up. It's a great piece. I love Pierre Laplante. He's got some fantastic writing and some fantastic pieces of music for the wind band. So in regards to that piece by Laplante, I think the main thing you just need to think about is sound overall. And use your ears as your guide. Listen to each other and see how well you can change your sound based on just what you're hearing in the ensemble while playing. Low voices, trombones, baritone, tuba. It to me sounds like the low reeds are playing the cues at the beginning. I can't see you though from where I'm sitting. All of those voices. We need to establish a stronger foundation of pitch center. Also, this whole opening section is mezzo piano. Here at 9, where you're playing that section, is only mezzo forte. The sound I'm getting right now is easily a forte, maybe even verging on double forte. And this goes back to the numbers. I think it's just so many of you that you're doing what it says in the music, except when it's amplified with this many players, you don't need to do it as much. That's a great harmonic shift. Da 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 da. Be careful of the intonation on that color shift. You know, it would be really an interesting experiment is to have the bass line at 17, so the tuba part, which is also the euphonium part and the bass clarinet part, Barry sax part, is to write that out for everyone. Or for just everybody to learn it. Write it on the board and everybody learn it and sing it. And sing it in tune. If you can sing it in tune, there's a vast improvement on your ability to be able to play it in tune on your instrument. Because playing in tune is not just about making your instrument work. It's about hearing the interval, audiating it, hearing what, singing what you're hearing in your head is the best way to be able to develop that skill. It's difficult for the melodic lines to tune if the harmony, the block chords, like all the low brass and woodwinds that I was referring to at that section, if those are not stable with intonation, it's going to be very difficult for everything else to be in tune on top of that. So, woodwinds, da 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 da, that's the melody. You're playing at a forte, but if you even took it down to say mezzo forte, it would be heard no problem, and it would still be very musically balanced, although you'd be able to hear each other blend a little bit better, and you could fix some of the intonation. So I don't think you need to play as loud. I'm starting to sound like a broken record here because I'm saying a lot of the same things over and over now on these first two pieces. You're really responding to what Mr. Conway is doing on the podium quite effectively. I like that you're watching him and you're responding to his gestures, which is exactly what you should be doing. He has some wonderful skill on the podium, and he is demonstrating a personal physical reflection of what the music means. And you are playing differently because of what he's doing on the podium. And you're playing better because he's showing you what he wants. So I really appreciate that you are able to do that. There's, in addition to the listening that I was talking about for intonation and balance, and adjusting some of the printed dynamics depending on your role in the music, there's this concept of phrasing and horizontal movement. Most of this piece that you just played, the ballad for peace, is phrased off with slur markings. And so you can see visually where Frank Erickson wants you to make a musical phrase. For example, if you look at 25 woodwinds, the phrase begins on beat 2 and it goes through beat 1 of measure 29. Then the next phrase continues, but make sure while you're playing that you think about that phrase. Don't think just about the notes, don't think just about a measure, but what is the phrase of the music? So if I were to liken it to speech, when you speak, you want to make a cohesive sentence when you're trying to make a point or ask a question or make your ideas fluid. So when I speak like this, and then I say something that is important, you're going to be distracted just by my speech pattern. So it didn't matter what I was saying. The fact that I was saying something you knew didn't make any sense, and I was putting these giant pauses between words in one sentence can be applied to music as well. If you think about connecting an idea, a thought, a phrase, and it's not just slur markings, you also have to know more advanced concepts like what's the harmony and how does the cadence determine what your phrase is. How does the musical line fit melodically with the harmony? How does the text respond to, or I should say, how does the music respond to any lyrics or text that might be applied? Like, a lot of music is a song. Well, if there are actual words to the song, even if we're not playing them on our instruments, how does that change how we would phrase it? There's a lot of elements that go into phrasing. I want you to start thinking about them and thinking about applying them to your music so that you can define your musical phrases very clearly and make compelling performance. There's a nice balance going on here. I would caution the trumpet and the sax, the eighth notes, along with the mallets, dat, 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 to make sure that you're lining up your rhythm and matching the length of notes. Personally, I think the trumpet, first clarinet, flute, and oboe could play softer, even though it says forte, and leave the volume of the altos and the French horn the same so that we could hear more interplay between those lines. This section, I believe, could be way softer. So you are playing big block dynamics, like here's a piano section, here's a forte section, here's a mezzo section, here's a double forte section. You're playing those, but you can exaggerate them more. Very nice percussion. Very clean. Great rhythm, great energy, nice crescendo. We are tending to rush a little bit, the entire ensemble. Just a hair, so make sure that you're subdividing and listening to each other so that we stay together. Trumpets, when you are muted, you have to pull out your main tuning slide. Just in general, because it's going to be sharp naturally when you shove something in your bell. So you have a couple bars to put your mutes in. While doing that, pull out your tuning slide a little bit. Then when you go to open, you can push back in. So you have a crescendo starting in 85. You just started louder instantly. I would, number one, start softer at 81. Number two, keep that volume at 85 and then grow to the peak of the phrase at 87. And then decay back down to the softer section at 89. There's got to be a little bit more connection of phrase. Personally, I would bring out the second trumpet, alto tenor parts, alto sax, tenor sax, and less on the clarinet. Nice shift of dynamics there, nice decrescendo. The other thing is, this sounds very measure by measure. Da, 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 da. Or da, 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 da. As opposed to da, 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 da. That's a four measure phrase, one musical line. Get the bar line out of your head as defining any way that you have to phrase your music and start thinking a little bit more about how you're going to express your ideas musically. Make sure you're changing together. That's my subdivision of the 16th note. That if you think that pulse, it'll help you to stay together when you change notes. The note before 114, the key change. Most of you played it quite short because you were going to take a breath. And then we lost sort of the connection into that big moment, which is the climax of the piece here at 114. Connect beat 4 of 113 longer and go into 114. In order to do that, you need to breathe at a different place so you don't have to breathe on the bar line there. Going into 114. So find another place to breathe so that you have enough air to get across the bar and connect that idea. Woodwinds, make sure you all start the trill on the printed note. Low voices, listen down so you can adjust your tuning on these whole notes. Da, da, dun, dun, da. I think there could be a little bit more air and a little bit more tongue on these accents in the last section so that it's emphatic. And you know, you've got this big finish kind of feel. You can do a little bit different things with your articulation to help make that happen. I did make some comments throughout. Mostly they were about sound overall. A few things about articulation and tempo and subdividing. But I would say the biggest thing, especially with this size group, is for you to listen more to your individual section and ensemble sound constantly while you're playing, and make sure that you can hear everybody else while you're playing, and make sure that you like what you hear. If you're ever playing something and you don't like the sound, adjust it to make it sound like something you do like, and that is tasteful and serves the music. So I hope that those comments were helpful, and I hope that you might be able to use them for future development. I am watching you guys exit stage right now. There's three oboe players. Actually, looks like there's more, but I just saw three oboe players walk by. Two of you have your reed and your instrument. I would highly encourage you not to leave your reed on your instrument, bassoons or in the oboe players. And for single reed players, saxophones, clarinets, to cover your mouthpiece. Make sure your mouthpiece cap is on while you're moving from place to place, because reeds are very delicate And once you find a good one, you know, you don't want it to get damaged by accident because someone bumped into it, especially when there's a huge crowd of 94 people walking off stage, or get caught on the curtain, or, you know, have something damage it unexpectedly, especially if it's a good read, especially if you're about to perform or go into sight reading or anything like that. So take your reads out and protect them. I would just usually, I'm an oboe player, I usually just have my read case. I put it in my read case before I even get up out of my chair. If you don't have a read case with you, you know, put it in your mouth to protect it so that it's got a little bit more of a chance of surviving. Thank you very much for performing today. It was a pleasure to listen to you. You've got a solid foundation of musical things happening, and I really appreciate that you are so passionate about music making. It's clear and obvious that you love what you do. I hope that the comments I gave you make your performing that much better, or maybe give you something different to think about while you're playing. And wishing you the best this spring. Thank you so much.